Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why it's happening again?
Welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie. Michael and Jeannie share with you the wisdom of the ancient Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. They offer tools and support 5 days a week. They will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love. In Aramaic, Rachma. Michael is the author of Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. And now your co-host, the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael and Jeannie Rice.
To the brightness within you and the truth that is rooted within me.
Happy Wednesday and welcome to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Michelle Pache and I'm here with Michael. We warmly welcome you to the show and thank you for choosing to be with us. Today is July 16th, 2014. Our call-in number is 646-200-4169. Press 1, and that puts you into queue to talk with Dr. Rice. We encourage you to call in with your comments or questions, allowing you to actively strengthen and deepen your practice. So now let's welcome Michael in the process of learning and experiencing forgiveness.
Well, thank you, young lady. It's a delight and an honor to be here, and we certainly appreciate you covering the switchboard while Jeannie is getting on an airplane. I will get to see her for the first time in a month, a little later this evening, so that will be awesome. In the meantime, it's a privilege to get to share this faith with each and every one of you that chooses to be part of the process of forgiveness. And so the work that we're about doing together is that of entering into this space of connectedness with the truth of who we are. And the easy way to establish the truth of who you are is just hold a newborn child. And when you hold that newborn, you get a direct experience of who you are. And if you're not living in that space, then we invite you to begin to ask yourself the question, why? And what are you going to do to change it? I love Einstein's definition of insanity. Doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Keep doing the same thing, the results are going to turn out the same. When you interrupt the flow of data that comes from the body's mind by presencing active love, everything begins to shift and change. And so we're here to invite and to support that shift and change and moving into the truth of who we are. So, Michelle, do you have anything to share with us today as we open the show?
I'm glad to be here. It's been a wonderful week so far. As you know, I came over a long birthday weekend to spend time at Heartland, and being in that love vortex, as I've coined it, is just a wonderful rejuvenation of spirit and soul and belly. I've felt so much energy, even just after a few days of eating raw vegan food. And I really enjoyed seeing you and spending time with Ari and the support staff and all the new and old friends at Heartland.
Well, the flowers are awesome that you planted while you were here. They really do add a light to the space, and so we appreciate the fact that that's what you chose to dig in and do and help us to get that to happen. So much appreciation.
Yes. You're welcome, Michael. That's not work. I really enjoy spending time in the garden, and I think the Rachma energy of Heartland will be better than the Miracle-Grow in helping those little orphan plants come back to life.
Yay. Cool.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, is Dr. Tim with us today?
He is. Dr. Tim.
Well, let's say hello to the young man, see how he is.
I'm doing quite well, thank you. We have our support group last night, and once again it was just a charming and delightful and high intensity and loving place to spend 2.5 hours. And we watched the second half of the video of getting the stress you need and the goal canceling exercise and then the presentation of the mind goal management sheet. And we had two people who've never been to the group before and two people who've only been there twice before. And we had a total of 12 people plus me for the group. And
awesome.
It really stirred up some stuff. There are a lot of people who have been trained, most of us in this culture have been trained to think of setting and achieving goals as the only thing to do with goals. And thinking that we need to have week-long goals, month goals, year goals, five-year goals, 10-year goals, 20-year goals, 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 goals. And when people get introduced to the concept that we should only set goals that we can accomplish within a certain day, a given day, and leave everything else in a different category, whether we want to call it plans or intentions or for future reference, it often, as we present this video, it stirs things up for people. So we had that again. We had people who wanted to say this is just semantics and they wanted to have discussions from the philosophical perspective. And so it was useful to pull out, you know, the phrase that came to me a while ago, which is to say, what we're going to talk about tonight is not open for debate. It's always open for observation, but we don't want to sit here and just debate it. If you want to see how it works, try it in your life. And we had a couple people there who had done this mind goal management sheet extensively for a while, and they were able to report their experience. And then we had a discussion. Somebody decided to do a worksheet. And it was an unusual worksheet from my perspective in that she wanted to do a worksheet on scary movies. And her experience that scary movies are terrifying for her, they're petrifying for her. And as a result, she bans them from her house. She doesn't want anybody showing them on her television set. She doesn't want them in the house. And I think two really interesting things happened. One was, as she began the worksheet and started talking about the scary movies and her reaction to them, one of the brand new people wanted to hold a philosophical discussion about whether or not these movies are good or bad, or everybody has their own opinions and tastes, and you know there's no reason to do a worksheet on this because... So we let a little of that come out, and then we addressed it and said that while all of those statements may be true, the person in the group who chose to do a worksheet would like to change her internal experience in response to scary movies, and that's why she's going to do a worksheet. She's not judging scary movies as bad or wrong, and she doesn't have to hold a judgment against other people who want to watch scary movies in order for her to do a worksheet to change her internal response to this external stimulus. So I thought that was a really powerful teaching moment in the group. And then we went on, and she did the worksheet.
Powerful way to say it.
And then she did the worksheet, and she canceled her goal for movies to be loving and entertaining and respectful. And she did the release work that we do and the breath work and asked Ruka to help guide her experience. And she started to see a series of images of when she was a child being terrified living in her house because they never knew how angry or at whom the anger would be directed when Dad came home. And it was a very powerful experience. She had a few tears, and she was left feeling tense when she wrote her response in 6A, and she wrote on the back of her worksheet some of the memories that she came up with. And so she wrote in her 6B in the worksheet, she now sees that her fear is about living with her father, who was a scary man. And as I mentioned, she had some tension, and she was feeling tense and had a few tears. But what really broke it loose was when she read the "I commit to love, to living a human life, and to help achieve this, I do a mass canceling of all the times I've wanted people to be wholesome, loving, and inspiring." And as she breathed into that and wrote her initials and put the check mark in the box, she just locked up with tears and shaking. And so we spent some time with that, helping her process and breathe. We actually did a tapping procedure that's a more simplified version than the EFT tapping. But everybody around the table sat and breathed and did tapping. And in 3 to 5 minutes, she had a complete shift. So she was no longer feeling the tense tension. She felt somewhat lightheaded. She rated that as a 3 out of 10. And her terror, her petrified with fear, she started at a 10 out of 10. That was a 0.
Wow.
And she
How
set,
cool is that? Who the thunk it?
It was lovely. And she set the goal in number 7, the loving goal that she set for herself and these movies moving forward, is that she would continue to dismantle her fear and work to stay in the awareness of love.
Hmm. Nice. That's an awesome shift.
That's the power of that group, those loving, supportive people, and these tools, combined with the willingness to feel whatever comes up and hold the space of love and just put the pen to the paper. So that's
pretty awesome. Cool. Moving from the external being in control to where the internal control is what runs the game. And that's just, you know, talk about empowerment. That's where it happens. Cool. Who knows? She may be buying herself and watching a scary movie and seeing what comes up next. I know for me, there was a time period where I would not have anything to do with violent movies. And one day I was guided to go and see one. I know you've heard me tell the story before, but I was guided to go and see one, and it was just a horrible movie. And I sit down in the theater. I finally, after arguing with my guidance, saying, no, I'm not going to do it. And I sit there, and there's this violent act at the beginning. It's like, what the hell am I doing here? And the response that came was, Michael, you have a belief in a world of bodies and damage and fear and violence. Instead of having to go out and manifest that in your world, sit here, breathe, and forgive. Let this bring up what you need to heal. And that's been powerful for me for many years now.
Well, the thing I like to say, adding to that when you do that, is because there are some people who hear that story and then they'll be in the group and they'll say, you know, that's ridiculous and I'm not ready for that. And I say, well, if you listen carefully to Michael's story, he had a time in his life when he wasn't ready to do it either. So I encourage you to listen to your internal guidance. And you don't just charge off to the movie theater to see a movie that's going to leave you shaking and crying and feeling sick to your stomach simply because Dr. Rice said that's what he does. You do it when your guidance and your strength of experience with the tools lets you know that you have the tools and the ability to respond differently should something less than love come up. And when your guidance tells you to do it, that's the time for you to go and watch movies and have worksheets and breathing.
Great input. Awesome input. Well, the other piece, when you were sharing the difference between goals and plans and how someone wanted to have a philosophical discussion about that was just semantics. It really was meaningless. I did that workshop here in our Food Fund Forgiveness work project 2 nights ago, and there was a gentleman who wanted to have that same discussion. Oh, you know, that's silly, that's just... And the analogy that came to mind was, okay, so it's semantics, but you only think it's semantics because you don't have the brain cells for the difference. Let's imagine that we have a diesel car and we send somebody off to get gasoline. And this person doesn't know the difference between diesel and gasoline. You know, well, there's no difference. You just put the nozzle in and you fill it. And if you fill that diesel with gasoline, you're in big trouble. There's nothing semantical about that. If you don't know one from the other, if you don't know diesel from gas and gas from diesel, you're in big trouble if you try to use one of those things where it doesn't belong. And exactly the same way, if people don't have the brain cells and the experience of the stress created by goal and the no stress created by plans, then they mix those things up and they're in just as much trouble as somebody who puts gasoline in the diesel fuel tank. Of course, you have a system set up with the size of the nozzle that would imagine that weren't there as a safety factor. And the person who doesn't know the difference creates all kinds of stresses with no knowledge of how they're creating that stress. Or the most common, if you do some research, you'll see the most common reason people go into their doctors and medical doctors is because of excessive stress. And they don't know that every time they set a goal, they create another stress and just overload their minds when they could put it in their planner and have no stress from that issue at all. And, of course, few would recognize from the Greek, actually nobody would recognize from the Greek until you had the brain cells from the Aramaic, that when Yeshua says sufficient for the day are the evils thereof, that he's talking about mind management, he's talking about goals. And if we set goals incomplete, that word evil being incomplete, if we set goals for any more than the next waking period, and you don't even set that goal until the waking period begins. You know, because if people set their goals the night before, you know, many people, one of the biggest complaints they have, oh, I just can't sleep. My mind just goes and goes and goes. And they have no idea that the reason their mind goes and goes and goes is because they go to bed with 100 goals, 1,000 goals in their mind. And the mind's just doing its job. It's just trying to do what it was told to do. If we don't know how to direct it, you know, and it's really bizarre that knowledge has been around the planet for so long, and we've been cut off from it. I mean, there's just been so much trauma and pain and suffering because the other part that I think is so important to understand about goals is that when you reach a certain level of stress, you will shift from normal, what is usually loving behavior, into power person behavior, simply because of the stress level in the mind. And so to recognize when you set a goal that there is a stress created and that the mind is going to do its job, and that is it's best to show you how to do a behavior with which to achieve your goal. And then if you recognize, or if you don't have the brain cells to recognize that when you set a goal and the data that comes forward guiding you into achieving that goal is based in hostility or fear, then you're just going to create trauma and drama around your goals. I mean, to me, it's such an awesome, especially in our goal-oriented culture, such an awesome understanding to have. And such a way to reduce stress, it's just mind-boggling. And, you know, I go back so often and marvel, how did Yeshua know that 2,000 years ago? You know, I've purposely gone to stress workshops for years, and I've been in front of some of the so-called best stress experts in the world, and, you know, a lot of them can tell you about how you should breathe, or you should meditate, or you should do this or do that. But I haven't found one of them that can tell us how stress is created. And it's really very simple. Set a goal. And, you know, when people get too stressed, too many goals, the next stage in their minds, and when I ask this in an audience, how many have ever done procrastination? You know, everybody laughs and puts up their hand. Notice that the day you procrastinated was the day you had so many goals, your brain just said, I quit. I'm not doing this. And there are just so many facets to it that are so powerful. that I found it was a nice gift when this one person the other night wanted to go into, to make this a semantics thing, and then pop came this idea of, oh, if you don't know the difference between diesel and gas, seems like semantics. It's fuel. You just put it in the car, right? Well, not quite.
That's a good one.
Thank you for that
in mind.
That's it. Say again?
I said, that's a good one. I will keep that in mind.
Yeah. Cool. Fabulous. Well, anything else to share?
That feels complete for me.
Cool. I wish we could get everybody that's doing support groups to call in and report on the I just think it's so so fertile to have you sharing what happens. I was talking to the folks out in Portland, and their support group the other night had 14 people, and they've been really going strong and really seeing miracles happen, as you report so often. And I did invite them to be calling into the show and sharing what happens in the support group, because I think it's instructive and it opens such a great space. So thank you for what you be doing, sir.
You're most welcome and deserving, and that puts me in mind that Michelle and Rex and Tony and people probably had a support group last night. I wonder if there's anybody there who's got any input for us.
Maybe Michelle has. Were you at the support group last night, Michelle? In Lansing? Hello, Michelle. You got your mute button on? Have we lost you, Michelle?
Michael, I'm here now. Odd thing happened. The call failed, so I had to call in again and reestablish my microphone. I'm not sure what happened. So I assumed at that moment you would have probably asked me what's happening in the chat room, and my connection was still going even though I didn't have the phone on. We are talking about goals and law of attraction and how the mind and heart meet as far as achieving goals. So just kind of a general discussion related to some of the things you and Tim were talking about. I was actually there in the session, I believe, that you were referring to with the person at Heartland over the weekend.
Right.
And my experience was pretty cool in the sense that I was able to see myself when I'm learning new things, and sometimes I get confused, or sometimes I have a belief that's not yet ready to be dismantled, and it was actually pretty revealing, enlightening, experientially seeing, because as I go forward, there's going to be new layers that I hit that I'll be reduced back into that spot where I'm not able to see yet. And so the lesson for me was just to be willing and open to get the feedback, even though it might be confusing or not make sense or diametrically opposed to what I know at that point is true, because your consciousness, as far as my experiencing, just continues to grow and unfold, and you don't know what you don't know, and then you do, and it's perpetual.
Right. So would you like some coaching on what you just shared with us?
Sure.
Sure. I got it. Just half throttle willingness, right?
Michael,
half
throttle willingness is good.
Michael,
yes.
Michael, please remember, you need to know when to hold up the mirror and when to duck. Now is time to duck.
Michelle is always loving, gentle, and respectful with me.
Well, yeah, because nobody's hands up, I will agree. And my instant thought was start breathing, Michelle, now.
There you go. Well, just the subtlety of language. And, you know, I think that we each, and I'm talking about myself here as well, we each have to revisit this idea of denial over and over and really see the impact of denial and how it causes us to dissociate from things that otherwise we'd be saying, I want to heal this. And just
okay.
the subtlety of the language, when you say, and it's confusing. When I say it, something out there, causes something in here, confusion to happen. You know, obviously if there's confusion in my mind, the root of the confusion is inside of me. But when I subtly dissociate from it through denial, when I say, well, it is confusing, then the part of my mind that creates the confusion, I just cut myself off from. And it's just, you know, it's just a little subtle thing. But in the big picture, when you start seeing everywhere that you use, and again, I'm referring to me, when I more and more as I teach it and understand it, you know, this idea of denial and dissociation is something that just came into the work about 2 years or so ago. Prior to that, it was denial and suppression. And I literally came out of a meditation, and I mean, I was just told in spades, Michael, it's not denial and suppression, it's denial and dissociation. And then I was given the definition of denial, thinking or speaking as though something outside of me causes something inside of me. And when I do that, in essence, I instruct my mind that it has to hide the source of the very thing that I want to heal. And it can be really subtle. And so I just thought I'd point that one out for your sake, for mine, and for everybody who's listening, to recognize that anytime we just, even in the subtlest way, imply that something outside of us is the cause of something inside of us, then we cut off the ability to change or heal that part inside of us that, you know, we'd all say, hey, I want to heal that one. I'm ready to be finished with confusion forever. Does that make sense?
No, that's wonderful. And you did it very gently. And I like it because it's a refinement. It's when you're getting to those subtle layers, as you were explaining it, it felt exciting. Like, wow, it felt exciting. Oops, got it. Catch myself. It resonated excitement that I can hear it on deeper levels.
Yeah. I hear you loud and clear. And the refinement, it's kind of like with that other analogy we used. It's kind of, well, now I know the difference between regular gas, mid-gas, premium gas, and diesel. They're the refinements. And so for someone who knows nothing about gasoline, they just think you go in and you fill the thing up. Those are important refinements. And when people start, when we start to move to higher levels of understanding those refinements, I certainly understand what you mean. They are the most exciting thing. They just are just so amazing. I can remember, you know, and before I get into what I remember, the refinements, the more you do your work, my experience is the more I do my work, the more like hen's teeth the refinements become. They're not easy to find. And when you find them, it's like, wow, that's so cool. And I can remember one time, oh, this goes back about 20 years ago, I went to a conference with Ram Dass. And he's a gentleman that does the stuff that he works with on death and dying. Not remember his name. But anyway, I drove about 4 hours to this conference, you know, spent a few hundred dollars and spent the weekend and came back. And out of that conference, I got one word that changed my work. And it was just, I mean, so valuable that, so I spent, you know, 4 hours driving each way, spent several hundred dollars in a couple of days of my life for one word. To me, that's how, as you move up the ladder, how important those refinements become. So I certainly understand your excitement about it, because it is, for me, it just is wonderful when I get another level of that, and it just brings another level of aliveness every time you get another little piece of the puzzle. So cool. Awesome. It was fun to watch Janet, who you know, was your companion on this journey, who wasn't planning on coming, and you had just kind of slid it by her, I guess, that you were on your way down here, and said, well, let me come. And I mean, the piece of the puzzle that she got, it was so much fun just to stand back and to watch her as she unfolded that. And I think her life is going to change dramatically over that one. And it's just so cool to watch it happen. And each of those little subtle pieces that just get more and more important.
No, we had a great time on the way back, continuing discussing the process and the intricacies of, like, how she would apply that and what she knew, and then expanding what she learned over the weekend. And it was a great, you know, it was real, like, value packed, very condensed, very efficient, in and out, hit and run.
Yeah, cool. Well, we just finished doing a breath session with the group, and we were going to be doing a class tonight, but because Jeannie was coming in, we kind of reversed our day. Instead of doing the work projects this morning, the work projects are being done this afternoon, this evening, and this morning we did a breath session with everybody, and it was just such a sweet space and such a nice movement of energy for everybody. It's just so exciting to watch. And just because you linked when you were here with Patricia last night, she just had an absolutely beautiful opening and movement. And it was, you know, when you were here, you'll remember each time she shared, like, you had to listen with 14 ears in order to hear her because her voice was so quiet. And she came out with just clear, loud tones. She filled the room with her voice. It was just cool to watch her strengthen and come to a new level of vitality. And then the next layer came up for her. And so she's just moving through, and things are rocking. It's really, really sweet space.
No, it is. It is a sweet space. I think energetically that becomes available really only in that environment, and everybody taking turns holding the space. You don't get that alone. It's why Dr. Tim's, our support groups are so powerful, because every day happenings at the office, at the bus stop, at the grocery, finding that space of love is sometimes tricky.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, a statement that I used to say a lot, I haven't used that much recently, but it's come back to mind, is that one that says, if you want to go quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And certainly in that safety and that support net, the work becomes easier to do. And speaking of that, if anybody's ready to move your process to the next level, we have a small group for our codependence to interdependence communication practicum. So if anybody wants to join us, that starts on Friday. It's a 16-day workshop, and the energy's building, heading to the airport to pick up Jeannie, and people coming in at the airport, and the folks driving in. So we're getting ready to start on Friday to take things to the next level. And then we'll move from that 16-day to a 9-day, why is this happening to me again? And that's one of the most comprehensive workshops. The codependence communication practicum is more pointed toward the idea of moving from the codependent state, understanding what it is, and moving from that into interdependence. And then the responsibility communication tool, we're going to be spending a lot of time. Actually, Magda had the idea of, we were talking about how that workshop was going to unfold, because we added about 6 days to do the communication part, over and above what we usually do, 7 days actually. And so Magda had some guidance to create scenarios for practice with that, and so it'll be fun to see how all that comes together. And then, so those workshops are pointed at specific things, and then why is this happening to me again is just a wide array. We go from why is this happening to me again to healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said? Purpose, personal power, and commitment, empowered to heal. Hands-on energy field work, mind shifters, still point breathing. So there's a whole, that 9 days is really packed with a lot of energetic movement. And, of course, the idea is to move out of our heads into the energy process of life, and to do that in the presence of active love. And so if anybody's ready to do that, touch in and come play with us this summer. Once we finish the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again, we'll do a 9-day teacher training, and that one's for people who want to either deepen their experience of the forgiveness work or want to actually teach. So that'd be a 9-day. And then the final summer intensive will be 16-day, Laws of Living. So that's kind of what's rocking at Heartland. And then we'll be heading up Dr. Tim's Way. We'll be in Woodstock, Illinois for a week, and then looking at moving down to the southeast side of Chicago to do some things. We're still looking at whether that's going to come together, and heading to Michigan. So things are rocking along. There's a Spiritual Unity of Nations conference that I'll be keynoting at, and the title of that conference is going to be The Missing Piece, P-E-A-C-E, First Century Aramaic Forgiveness will be the part that I'm doing in it. But that'll happen in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Got a week of workshops there, a week of workshops in Lansing, and then the 31st of October we'll start a 9-day intensive in Pinckney, Michigan. We've got this absolutely beautiful old antebellum-style home, a huge space, a huge meeting room, huge kitchen, accommodations on a lake in a really beautiful area of Michigan. So that'll be happening the end of October. And then we'll be heading down into Bristol, Tennessee, and on into Atlanta, Florida. We're still just sort of scheduling things there. If anybody wants to play, you can go to our website, www.whyagain.org. And if you click on events or schedule, that'll tell you exactly what's happening, where, when, why, and how. And if you're interested and you haven't touched into the forgiveness process yet, you can also go to our website, whyagain.org, and you'll see a bullseye. If you click on that bullseye will open a whole series of links, and that will just take you right through the whole process, including about a dozen radio shows where we walk somebody through it. So there are a dozen or so different sets of instructions for how to complete that reality management forgiveness process. So we invite you to go to the website, download those radio shows free. Of course, I think I was looking the other day, and we're up to about 1,300 shows in our fourth year of doing this 5 days a week, and it's certainly an honor and a privilege. And I love the technology that, you know, we can be talking to people all over the world, and that these things are in archives. So for eternity, these ideas and this energy is available through the digital medium. So it's pretty cool. So is Jeannie with us by any chance? I think she's on her airplane already.
Yeah, she's actually flying right now.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't sure what her flight time was, but I think she's on the plane or very close to being on it. We played telephone tag for a while this morning, didn't catch up with each other. I thought she might call in before she got on the plane. So do we have anything happening in the chat room? And or anybody in the phone queue with a hand up?
Just a couple people in the chat room. Peace and I are chatting, and nobody's with the hand up. We've got about 20 minutes left in the stream. So certainly if anyone wants to call in, 646-200-4169. Michael, I'm glad you repeated the African quote. I can't hear that one often enough. So yesterday
I say it's a great reminder. And by the way, just an expression of appreciation for the fact that Peacemaker comes with us, that he's with us just about every day. It's awesome to have you sharing the space and, you know, going together long distance in the long haul and bringing this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. So we appreciate you being there, Peacemaker, and holding that space and moving it forward.
Straight from Billings, Montana. You're right about the smallness of the world. He sent a little smiley face in response to your words. Rex wasn't feeling so well yesterday, I'm sure you know. I think he's working through a healing crisis. And so he let me know in the morning that he would not be joining me at prison yesterday. So I made the trek alone, and I administered the evaluation after I finished up the last two series in Lesson 8. And it was interesting, Michael. There, it was on marriage, if you recall. And I asked who in the audience was married, and there was only one person who was married. And then I asked who was divorced, and there were two men that were divorced. So basically, 95% of the people there were single and never married.
Well, that's interesting.
I thought so.
I wouldn't have thought that would have been so. If you'd asked me, I would have thought, especially with the fact that they're in there, most of them for 25 years to life, I would have thought that probably most of them that were there would have been divorced. The fact that they're incarcerated for so long. So that's interesting. That does say something about... That does say something about the one of the benefits of marriage. Probably stay out of prison. That's a good thing. That's a good thing. I just got a text from Jeannie saying that she's landed in Charlotte already. So it's interesting. She's going from Bristol, Tennessee Springfield, Missouri, which is about if we were getting in the car, it'd take us about 13 hours to drive. Her time from the time she leaves until she gets into Springfield is 7 hours. 3 airplane flights to do this silly journey. Like crazy. But anyway. 646-200-4169 is our call-in number. We would love to hear your questions or your thoughts. The smallest can be the biggest lever that helps us to understand this process of forgiveness. So any question that you have, no question is too small, and oftentimes the seemingly insignificant question is the very thing that takes us back to the root where we may have missed a piece in the puzzle and opens a space for that to happen. So we would love to hear your questions. We'd love to hear what's on your mind around these topics. And so if you are on the phone line already, if you just push one, and you know, sometimes people get a little nervous, you know, my voice will be shaky, I'm on the radio, and I just invite you to breathe and let go of that and go ahead and push one and just ask your question. We're here to be patient.
Asking
and
you,
to
believe.
Go ahead, Michelle.
Asking you to receive. Mary Ann's on the line from North Carolina. Hello, Mary Ann.
Hi, everybody. Hi, Michelle. And Michael, my question... Yeah, Michael, so I'm curious what the word was that was so inspiring after driving 4 hours each way and spending a couple of days and several hundred dollars. So you never did say what the word was that was so great for you.
And it cost hundreds of dollars for you to share that with me. The word was, you know, we live in a culture that oftentimes, you know, tells us to relax, like, you know, we've been beat into relaxation, and so that word carries a lot of stress and strain. And
can I guess what the word is?
You got it, right? You've heard me use it so many times. Go ahead.
Soften?
Yeah, that was it.
Okay, I get right.
So the use of that phrase when someone's breathing and just getting them to soften and open is just, I mean, that's a major piece in the whole process of people opening and doing their work. And so that was the gift I got from Ram Dass. And again, I apologize to the gentleman who was doing the conference with him. He's the fellow who's was partnered with Ram Dass and specialized in work in death and dying, and that was my gift from that whole weekend. And maybe you could share with us, you know, the last time you called in, you were looking at doing the prison work and standing in front of that building and rather resonated some trauma as you looked at it, and you shared with me personally, but I don't think you've shared on the show just what happened when you did the worksheets around that issue.
I had an instantaneous healing, and it was so fast and so obvious to me that I could change my mind and it could be done instantaneously, and that's what happened. My perception of the building no longer was this fortress, but there was love around it. And I promise you, it was just the most amazing experience to have it happen so rapidly. So it was all about my personal perception of reality, my PPR. It just changed instantly.
When I think about 2,000 years ago, how did Yeshua know that was how you did it? You know, it's mind-boggling.
It was thrilling, actually.
I hear you loud
and clear. So yesterday Rex was sharing, and I wanted to offer something. After I left Heartland for the very first time and had the breathwork experience, it was just part of me. And I went on to study rebirthing, and one of the things that the pre and perinatal research shows is that we make decisions from conception to 1 hour after birth that are some of the most important decisions we ever make in our life. And they become in the unconscious. So I just thought it'd be fun for him to look at after, you know, struggling with the obstetrician pulling on his leg and whatever decision he might have made, just to be able to go through and remove any residue around that. I thought that might be helpful.
Good input. I hope Rex is Rex with us. Michelle, do you know
he's not
today.
Okay.
Cool. Well, we'll share that input with him and see what surfaces on the next level, in the next layer. I can certainly identify with that kind of back trauma when I was a kid. If I bent over the wrong way, I couldn't get back up again. Somebody had to lift me up. And I had back pain up until probably about 8 or 9 years ago, was a constant, continuous, unrelenting companion. And it's amazing when you recognize that it's all energy, and instead of thinking of it as, I did something physical here, to recognize that the physical is just an expression, and that there's something behind it. And when we touch into what's behind it and clean it up, then things change and shift. I haven't talked to John Ray recently. If you weren't on the show, you might want to go back. If this is a topic of interest to you, you might want to go back and listen to the show where we interviewed John Ray. And John's a man that travels around the world now and teaches cranial sacral work and different massage therapy and modality. And when I first heard from John, he was flat on his back getting ready for back surgery. He had just been introduced to the worksheet process and decided that he would use the forgiveness process to see if he could make a change. And 3 days before he was scheduled for surgery, he took up his bed and walked. It's like, I'm out of here. Forget this. And, hasn't looked back from there. No pun intended, hasn't looked back. So when we recognize that it's all energy, and that when we touch the root of the energetic effects of things in our lives, then we can change things that seem unchangeable. But there's nothing unchangeable. There's nothing that's incurable. Well, perhaps they're incurable. No, I'm not changing my mind. I'm sticking with what I got. And, you know, that's okay. But as far as incurable physical disease, doesn't exist. Are there some things that are a real challenge to come up against and major energy shifts and movement to happen? Absolutely. And it can be done. So anything else to say, Marianne?
Oh, I'm just smiling. I love hearing it all. You know, I could hear it 100 times, and it just brings such joy. And I like the missing piece, because I was at a school this morning looking at their bulletin board, and it was all about the missing P-I-E-C-E. And so I just, in my mind, wanted to change it and create a bulletin board that was able to share what we're all learning and teaching each other.
Yeah, I hear that loud and clear. Good. Well, let's see if Michelle has anything else to share from from her day in jail yesterday?
Michael, I gave the evaluation. And
right.
So there was one question I modified for them. I read it the way it was written. And just to make it a little closer to home, I think it was question 118. It says something along the line of, I find myself being irritated with drivers when they are driving too slow in front of me, something along the lines. And I said it, and I realized some of them had driven in decades. And so I suggested maybe I find myself being irritated when someone walking in front of me is walking too slowly when I'm transitioning. You know, they go from the chow line to the prison yard to their
right.
to their cell and such. So
they
smile, but you know, they might remember their way of being and driving and realize that, yeah, it's the same dynamic. It's just here with somebody walking slow. There's so many people sometimes when they're doing their movements.
Yeah, I actually reposted a post on Facebook the other day, and the post was, you notice that drivers who drive slower than you are all idiots, and drivers who drive faster than you are all maniacs. Where does that leave us in the middle? That was kind of cute.
Yeah, Kamoya was here with his hand up, and he his call dropped, so we'll see if he reestablishes. We've got about 8 minutes left in the broadcast.
Oh, well, we've got time for a question coming, so let's hope his hand goes up again, and we'll get to say hello and complete the show. And then I'm going to be on the road to Springfield to do all the errands that need to be done to have everything we need to feed and house everybody for the codependence and interdependence intensive, including yourself. Your room is ready, and we'll look forward to seeing you in a few days. And, you know, if you decide to pick up one or two strays along the way, that'd be fun, too. Let us know. And we'll
see
how it
all
unfolds. Oh, cool. Well, that would be awesome. So anybody who's listening to the show, Michelle's in Lansing, Michigan, and she's going to be, I've never seen anybody drive like this lady drives. So she's going to drive back down to be here for codependence to interdependence communication practicum that starts on Friday. Although you're going to drive and leave Friday evening and plan to be here Saturday for the opening class Saturday, right?
That's right. And, yep. Michael, the miles on my Rockma Mobile are only a reflection of my commitment.
There you go. Awesome. Well, 646-200-4169. And that's our calling number. You've got a question for us about forgiveness. Dr. Tim, I wonder if the conversation about the jail stimulates anything for you to share from your years of working in parole and you know, being in that field, if you've got anything to share that might round out the experience in supporting Michelle and in what she's doing with Rex in the prison, and then what Marianne is getting ready to do in the local jails in Asheville, North Carolina.
Well, my input would be that all three of those people will have things to teach me soon, since I haven't been in that arena for probably close to 20 years. But the other input is that it's so needed there, because the conditioning we're talking about that I have that trains me that people outside of me are causing my emotions, that happens for most of us in a normal, loving, healthy, relatively healthy family home, is anywhere from 100 to 1,000 times more intense in families where there are people who are continually in the legal system and the jail system and the probation system and the prison system.
Right.
And so, you know, to my mind, it just screams for the need for even more love, more application of the tools, more explanation of the process, so that people who are willing can actually take advantage of the process.
Sure,
so my hat's off to Rex
the...
and Michelle and everyone else who's working in these systems trying to bring a more loving process into the jail, probation, legal system, prisons. My hat's off to them all.
For sure. For sure. I'm in full agreement with that one. And if anyone looks at our schedule and sees where we're going to be this next year and you've got a contact in a local prison or a local jail and you get the door to open and go in, we'd be happy to do that and share the tools we've got. And of course, a lot of times in those systems, the game becomes, well, how much money is it going to take? Because we don't have a budget. It's like, well, you don't need a budget. We don't need any money. We'll come do it free. So, of course, if there is a budget, we're happy to accept it, but that's by no means a requirement. We're delighted to take the tools in anywhere that we are invited to do that and make them available. We're getting critical mass. The shift is happening.
Dr. Tim, thank you for that acknowledgement. I appreciate it. It's nice to be recognized, and what I'm receiving in return is a small price for whatever sacrifice personally I'm giving. So thank you, though.
Yeah, you're most welcome and deserving.
Yeah, the difference you're making in people's world inside of that system where it just isn't the access to the tools is monumental, and so it's awesome to watch the commitment both you and Rex have. It's fabulous. So 646-200-4169, and we're down to a couple of minutes. If you've got a question, push 1. And we will get on your question to the best of our ability. And or if you are in the direction that we're taking our tour and you look at the schedule and you see there's an opening there, invite us to your town, to your church, to your community, and we'll present. We pay our own expenses. The workshops are free. So we'd be delighted. There's actually one we do charge a fee for, but that's one we do the least. And so if we can be of support, that's what we're here to do. Of course, our radio show, the archives, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of shows that you can go through and listen to the process of healing and bringing forward the truth of human life, the truth of who we are as this awesome presence of love, which is where we all started out, and maybe we've lost the path. So creating a community that connects in the Aramaic language, when the Greeks translated a certain set of words as meaning the kingdom of heaven, as though that was something off in space and outside of you. In Aramaic, what that speaks of is the community of love. Create a community of love, whether it's in your home or within your home, within your family system, or it's just to step outside of your family system. And the gift you give to the world when you do that is absolutely monumental. So we're down to the last few seconds. We'll just say, you know, if you're ready to take your work to the next level, jump on YZN.org, look at the schedule, click the bullseye. That'll give you information on how to move into the forgiveness process. And give the world the most awesome gift you could possibly give, with the best beer yet of your eternal life. Thank you for joining us. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and his wife, Jeannie, who present the internal Aramaic process of forgiveness. Michael and Jeannie are here every Monday through Friday on Earth Angels Radio. For more on Michael and Jeannie, please visit www.whyagain.com. That's www.whyagain.com.